UCL Library Services, Special Collections. Podcast 5, an overview of the Natural History Collections.
I'm Susan Stead and I'm the Rare Books Librarian in Special Collections. We do have rich collections in natural history. When you're talking about books or any sort of knowledge of the early centuries, late medieval period through to about the 17th century, it's sometimes hard to differentiate the different sciences in the way we would nowadays, because they were more mixed. I mean, alchemy was regarded as a proper science then. It is the foundation of chemistry. Natural history was a very wide-ranging branch of knowledge, which encompassed everything from philosophy to anatomy to botany. So it's sometimes quite hard to fit these books into the narrower categories that we have nowadays. But we do have rich collections in natural history, particularly a lot of very beautiful illustrated natural history books, especially on birds. We have the wonderful illustrated bird books of John Gould. They are astonishing hand-coloured lithographs, absolutely beautiful, from the 1830s. And then 100 years earlier, 1730s, books by a man called Eleazar Albin. And they were the first books published in England with coloured pictures of birds. And they're really, really very pretty. Again, hand-painted. We also have books on insects, on botany. They're particularly fine. A book called Lepidopterous Insects of Georgia, which is moths and butterflies, and it's Georgia in the USA. It's 1797-ish. Again, with hand-painted lithographs. Very beautiful.
My name is David Price. I'm Vice Provost for Research here at UCL. So at UCL, we have the Johnson Lewis Collection, which is a collection of materials, not only books and maps and graphical material, but also rocks and specimens, which were collected about 200 years ago by people and brought to UCL and donated to them subsequently. And some of the materials that we have in the form of books are really outstanding. They have illustrations of volcanic eruptions from 18th century Italy. And this book here by Sir William Hutton on Campi Flegrei is an example of this. There's some beautiful illustrations of watercolours in here that are aesthetically fabulous, but also are very interesting to capture a volcanic eruption which happened 200 years ago in really stills. I mean, we are used to seeing volcanic eruptions filmed these days, but even today, the vision that the artist and the scientist has in those days and how they captured the eruption is still of interest today as it was to the workers 200 years ago. For research purposes, this is important because it helps understand the eruptive history of the volcanoes in Italy. It also shows the position of the lava flows geographically, which we can then recapture and understand the environment in which the eruptions have occurred. But also, as I said previously, one of the interesting things is it shows how people were thinking about physical processes in the natural world 200 years ago, and it helps us understand the evolution of the subject discipline as well.
The natural history books do garner quite a wide audience, from people interested in the illustrations, in the artistic aspect, to people interested in much more specifically scientific area. For instance, the collection of the Malacological Society is on mollusks and shells, snails, things like that. And we do have a professor here who's very interested in snails, so he's looked at that collection. And it's people who are interested in botany, in gardening, garden history, garden design. We've had a couple of those. Quite wide-ranging areas of interest.
Well, I find it works on many levels. Some of these watercolours are aesthetically marvellous, and therefore they will stand the test of time as pieces of art. But also to feel, if you like, a connection with researchers and scientists over the centuries is something which is both inspiring and also makes one suitably humble and realise that we're all making a small contribution in a continually growing edifice of knowledge.